it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mr. Fryer, let's go.
And after 12, it ain't safe.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
I want to talk about DeMar DeRozan for a second. And I know that all of us have been marveling at what DeMar DeRozan is. The fact that he is a player that has been able to have some success mid-range and at this volume, the amount that the Bulls are in some ways counting on him to do it because they've had injuries all over the place. You've got Alex Caruso's not out and Lonzo had surgery, and now there's all the stuff that's going on with Zach LaVine, where if you didn't know, Zach didn't play Saturday. It was back-to-back games, Friday night, Saturday night. He didn't play Saturday against OKC. And then Woj reported that he went to go see a specialist about not his back, his knee. The same knee that he messed up a while ago. So that was really, really concerning. And I've got some big picture concerns when it comes to the Bulls. They've really been doing it with a lot of talent, a lot of hard work. I marvel at this when I watch DeMar DeRozan. Watch him be as effective of a player as he's been.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
There's definitely going to be more DeMar talk on today's show. That's for damn sure. Bass drop! My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. We are going to talk with the Super Bowl champion today. We are going to talk about DeMar's crazy game yesterday. And we're going to talk about the Bulls overall. In fact, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, Cody Westerlund is going to join us. He's going to talk with us about the Bulls being a half game out of the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. They're still right there. So we're going to talk with Cody about that. DeMar and his streak and everything else that's going on with the Bulls next here on The Score.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
I was just telling somebody the other day, I'm a big boxing fan, and one of my favorite boxers is Floyd. And I remember having a conversation with Floyd years ago, how he approached fights, you know, and for him, it's about collecting data in the first couple of rounds of what his opponent liked to do, how he could just break them down. You know, I always talk about the championship rounds when they come to, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 round when you could kind of hear your opponent, you know, breathing a little bit harder, you know, dropping the hands, you know, the same analogy and approach I take with basketball, you know, and just picking them apart, understanding how a defense going to play me, player, aggressive, game flow. You know, it's just me collecting so much data early in the game and kind of picking it apart as the game goes on. Fight.
That's DeMar DeRozan talking about his game, Mr. Fourth Quarter. Mr. Every Quarter, although he did start the game 1-for-6 shooting from the field. I'm Lawrence here with you until 2 o'clock. Some of the input that I've gotten on our Top Gun conversation has been interesting, including apparently an admiral who was listening to the conversation has some thoughts. I will share those with you after we are done talking with Cody Westerlund. Cody covers the Bulls for us. He does a tremendous job of it. Follow him on Twitter at Cody Westerlin. Read his work on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. He joins me now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Cody, thanks for joining me. Let's start with what we've seen with DeMar DeRozan during this stretch of games that he's on. Even though people know that he's a mid-range shooter, he is still getting to his spots and getting his points. How?
He's just a wizard out there, Lawrence. I mean, he's reaching this point in his career in the 13th season, 32 years old, where he has all the wisdom like built up. And I think the big thing for him, too, is he has so much patience, and he's using that so well on the court. And we talked about that before with pump fakes, getting to the free throw line, getting these defenders out of position. But he knows how to not just get to his spots, but then like use his spots on the court and get them to come at him and then go to the hoop, like turn it up a gear. And then he gets to the rim, and instead of flying in there out of control, he can do a Euro step or kind of a step through or just slowly weave his way to the rim and get good looks there too. So what he's doing is just magnificent. And I think most of the credit, I think, just needs to go back to really how smart of a basketball player he is at this stage of his career. And I think that's kind of meshed with the opportunity with the Bulls having so many injuries lately. Zach LaVine, obviously, in and out of the lineup, too, here in the past month. And this recent stretch, just been unbelievable. Six straight games with over 35 points and 50% shooting. Something that hasn't been done in the NBA in like 60 years. It's just all coming together at the right time, and he's making the most of the opportunity.
Why couldn't he make it work in San Antonio? I mean, I know he was there for a little while, but it seems like with some of the young talent that they have, having a guy like DeMar would put them in a similar situation to where the Bulls are at.
Yeah, certainly. And I don't think it should be like slept on. Like, he wasn't bad in San Antonio, but I also think there were times where like Pop did want to shoot a few more three-pointers. I know that was an occasion where he was kind of in and out of the lineup in situations. And they were kind of just torn between systems, really, right? Like, they were rebuilding in many ways, and they had DeJounte Murray, who we've seen be great for them a couple times here against the Bulls. They had Derek Wright, who they recently traded. But they were just kind of in a weird territory where it was some veterans, some young guys. I don't think they exactly knew what they wanted to be. And it was just a situation where it didn't mesh for him there. And I think he learned a lot from how to play with others and kind of take criticism, too, from Pop in many ways. I mean, DeMar's talked on a number of occasions how hard Pop was on him about his defense. And I think that was something that probably is frustrating down there, too, as the Spurs didn't have as much success as they wanted to. But really, so many times in the NBA, we've seen this, too. Like, it's like opportunity and fit for guys. We saw it earlier in the year with Lonzo Ball. He's been really good in New Orleans for a couple years in like this role player role, but like it wasn't enough of what they needed, or it wasn't valued enough in New Orleans, and in Chicago it was extremely valued. And I think you're seeing some of that with DeMar too, but I think he's been reinvigorated by Chicago. I think he was reinvigorated by the challenge, the big market, getting to play with Zach LaVine, and just getting to see some new guys and have this opportunity really rise up and shine. And you're kind of off the basketball map a little bit when you're in San Antonio, and it's not the Tim Duncan era, it feels like.
You brought up Zach LaVine. What's the latest on the second and third opinions that he's getting on his knees?
Yeah, he's set to have the meeting and with the specialist today out in Los Angeles. Bulls doctors will be there as well to consult, and they want to get to the bottom of why his knee is swelling up after some games, and that's something that's been really concerning about him. In mid-January, he went down with that awkward landing against the Warriors on a Friday night. I think only played 4 minutes in that game. Had an MRI the next day that revealed no significant structural damage, is what the team said. The Bulls remain confident the knee's structurally sound, but like, he's not feeling good. He's not in a spot right now where he's comfortable playing back-to-backs. We know he's a looming free agent. We know how much he wants to win too in his career. Never been in the playoffs. This is the best chance that he's ever going to have in the playoffs. I mean, this Bulls team's headed there. If they keep playing well, they're probably going to be a top three or four seed, obviously, in the East and have a chance to do some damage. And I think he understands that's more important than a Saturday night game against the Thunder, for example. And I think he understands that his career is coming to a head this summer just with his mega contract that he should be in line to get, presumably from the Bulls. He loves it here. The Bulls love him. But I think he's got to take care of himself for right now. He's going to do that. Bulls hope to probably have more information midweek, late week here. He'll be out against the Sacramento Kings tomorrow night. We're uncertain whether Zach will participate in the All-Star festivities where he's supposed to be in the three-point challenge and playing the game. And we'll see what he decides about that. I think that will be a little bit telling about how he's feeling, if he can go out there and jog around and do a little bit. Or maybe he'll come out and say, it's just best for me to take, you know, 8 full days off, something like that, and come back after the All-Star break with the Bulls. But this is an important meeting. I wouldn't say the Bulls are extremely concerned yet, but anytime a guy who's had an ACL surgery on a knee is going to get that knee checked out again by a specialist, there's going to be behind the scenes some level of concern, even if they're feeling good about what they previously found.
I wonder if this is a guy who looks at his calendar and looks at himself and goes, I'm 26, I shouldn't be having this. But then you realize, well, you've played 8 seasons, so it's an older 26, especially with an ACL repair that happens. That I wonder if he's feeling the effects of aging and he's not quite sure what to do with it, plus the minutes that he's played in his career.
I think a really key thing there that you bring up, and I hate to bring up bad memories with Bulls fans, but like Derrick Rose's early career was made on its athleticism and explosiveness. And Zach LaVine in many ways has been the same. And what's been so great about him in recent years is he's refined that three-point shooting, become an efficient, high-volume three-point shooter, stuff like that, really improved in the pick-and-roll game. But at the base of him as a basketball player, it's his ability to break down people off the dribble and get to the rim and elevate over him in many ways is what he does so well that makes him such a good player from three levels. And I think he knows how important that is, and I think he wants to make sure his knee's stable enough to do that, not just for the rest of this season without worry, but, you know, the rest of his career without worry. So there's nothing wrong with taking a couple games off, going to L.A. to see the specialist. I think anything that brings Zach LaVine peace of mind at this point is going to be good for the Bulls, whether that's now or in the coming weeks. So I think you might see him still be a little bit more cautious here, maybe in some of the back-to-backs or something in the second half of the season. Maybe they come up with the plan where, you know, take a few games off here and there as long as everything's looking okay. And it might be for him a new normal in which he's going to have to put up with knee soreness. But right now it was the swelling that they didn't really expect to happen after every game, or some games, I should say, that was the concern why he wanted to get it checked out again.
I think he has a really smart approach to this, and I hope that he gets what he needs from talking to all the doctors and figures out how, the best way for him to be a part of this team. What's Derrick Jones Jr. going through on a nightly basis?
Well, he's got a lot of pain in his finger because it's still fractured, basically, and we didn't expect him to be back this soon, and he's obviously playing with a little protective splint there on his finger and on his hand. And it's a pain tolerance threshold for him right now. I think it's good that he's playing because, like, the Bulls are so they have so few guys right now with just everyone injured and such. Like, they need able-bodied guys who are you know, not star players, not starting level players, but just someone who can be in the rotation and soak up minutes. So he's starting to do that a little bit more now after coming back last weekend. So I guess the best way to put it, Lawrence, he's going to have to be careful when he dunks, right? Like, mm-hmm. He dunks really hard. He pulls the rim. He elevates up there a few times a game as best he can. So he's going to have to put up with the pain when he does that, and when he's diving into scrums and stuff. But he's probably going to play through this, and the Bulls need it right now because they need rotation players that are of NBA caliber.
Cody, I'm really enjoying the two-man game that's developing between Io and Vooch. How did we get to this stage with those two guys?
Well, I think some of it, again, we've talked about opportunity here, is Io's got those point guard minutes and role, but I think he always had this in him probably in college with the ability to find guys and pass. And you're seeing it at a higher level with more space in the NBA than there is in college, where the three-point line's, a foot and a half shorter or so. than it is in the NBA, where guys in the NBA can be a couple feet behind the three-point line too and really stretch the defense out. There just wasn't as much space probably for him to operate all the time at Illinois and feed some of these passes in there. And he's getting them to Vooch in spots that he likes. And I think a lot of time, you know, it's just a window of space that, like, Vooch needs. Like, he's not a guy that's usually going to take you off the dribble from 17 feet or anything like that, pump fake and go to the rim. I know he did it the other night on an occasion to get a layup. But if he gets a little window that someone else creates for him, he's really good at kind of slithering his way to the hoop. And now he's finishing a lot better around the rim. And sometimes it's just that window of space that someone else creates for you. And Io and him seem to have a good rhythm right now, which is impressive, right? Because the Bulls haven't been practicing that much because there just haven't been that many off days. So really, it's just two guys, I think, that understand the game very well. And like we said with DeMar, you got to credit Io's basketball IQ, and he's threading some passes really too in traffic. And I think that's maybe one of the things that Vooch didn't have earlier in the year. Lonzo Ball is a great hit-ahead passer. He's not a guy that's running pick and rolls and weaving in passes from 2 feet away in traffic. Zach LaVine's not a guy in a pick and roll that is weaving passes usually 3 feet away in traffic between arms. He's usually going to the rim to finish. Io's a guy who gets in there, throws a bounce pass, or goes and shuffles a pass under someone's arm and gets Vooch the ball in a position that maybe earlier in the year he wasn't getting all the time. So it's not like the Bulls have changed it up and like put Vooch on the block 15 times a game to do post-up stuff. Like, they're getting his momentum going toward the hoop, and he's getting the ball in a little bit better spots, and then he's doing his job to finish at a higher clip.
Cody, as always, I appreciate you jumping on and giving us the latest information on the Bulls. Thank you quite frankly, sir. I don't know why I just can't talk right now, but I can't. But thank you anyway. How was Phoenix? Was it good?
It's a blast. Great weather here. We went to the Waste Management Open last Friday, too.
Oh, were you one of the people throwing beer?
No, that was Saturday, so I was off the hook. I was off the hook on that one, but it was a great time. Good to get out of the cold for a little while, and I'll catch you guys soon there in Chicago. But have a good rest of the show, and I'll hop on with you next week.
Matt's Big Breakfast in Phoenix.
I'll give it a try maybe this weekend.
Do that, man. You will enjoy yourself. Be good, Cody.
Thank you.
That's Cody Westerlund, who covers the Bulls for us. Hey, Campy, can I borrow you for a second? I need to talk to you about something before we do the top five. And Brandon Fryer is going to have the top five today. He's in charge of it. So I'm on the Instagram, and I see that our buddy Anthony Gill.
Tony, yeah.
He had put a steak up there.
Oh.
Steak. It looks like a nice little baked potato, like double baked potato.
Sure.
So I commented, because for those of you who don't know, Campy and I had to take then Tony, now Anthony Gill, to Gibson's because he was talking sideways about steaks. And so we were like, have you ever had like a real steak? Like, you know, like a steakhouse steak. And his reply was, why would I do that? Food should never cost more than $20. That's one of his takes. So I put under the picture, Outback? Question mark. Knowing that it wasn't Outback from the way that it looked on the plate. And he said, oh no, I went to a place called Remington's, which is not far from the station. Now I'm looking at the menu at Remington's, Campy. I feel like it costs more than $20.
Oh, so this was an Anthony place, not a Tony place.
Yeah, how about that?
Wow. I've been very stringent on the fact that I am remaining, I'm going to call him Tony, but for really no good reason.
We're the only ones that call him that. That's why I'm calling him Anthony.
We're going to stay that way, damn it.
I will tell you that I didn't know about Remington's, and now I'm going to check it out, but it definitely looks like it costs more than $20.
Wow. So,
right?
So it's not the same as Outback.
Right. There's nothing wrong with Outback.
Right.
Look, there have been plenty of times where I would enjoy myself an Outback. All I'm saying is that for years, literally years, this young man would tell us that we were spending too much money on food. And then when I was spending money on food, he was like, yo, that is a great steak. Yes, Tony, you can sometimes get better stuff if you're willing to spend money.
Maybe. Is this a sign that some of his other bad opinions might be turning around? that we can and we can't mention on the air?
Yeah, the ones that we can't mention on the air, we won't. But
no, we will not.
But there is his feelings on Reggie Miller, which are just awful.
Yeah, I feel like that's not changing.
No, and neither is his love for Michael Redd for some strange reason. What's next? Put Scoonie Pinn in the Hall of Fame, too?
Right. If you really want to go vintage with the nice lefty jumper, give me some, like, 90s Anthony Peeler. Like, him playing next to Eddie Jones. Give me some of that. Here for it. Not, I mean, Michael Redd was really good. Don't get me wrong. But, like, Reggie Miller?
Campy, I'm looking on here on the menu for Remington's, and they've got tempura rock shrimp and crab toast.
Tony has never known that crab could go on toast. Guaranteed.
Here's another one that I'm sure shocked him. Grilled artichokes. This is
does Tony
they must be paying him a lot.
Does Tony think artichoke is meat or not?
I don't know. All I know is that I saw something and I was like, now you're a Jedi. Okay, you were a Padawan. Now you're a Jedi because you're out here getting that real. NBC Sports Chicago must have all of the monies.
Apparently.
And they must be giving it to Tony. Anthony. Must be nice.
Still Tony.
Brandon Fryer has a top five of Super Bowl commercials. He will share them with you next here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Five, one, two, three, four, five.
Top 5 Tuesdays on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
But since today is Tuesday, it doesn't matter in the slightest.
Top 5 Tuesdays.
I've only seen a couple, but that's definitely top 5.
Is it Tuesday?
Can't you ask me an intelligent question?
Is this the Lawrence Holmes Show?
You're damn skippy.
Then it's Top 5 Tuesdays on the Lawrence Holmes Show. Got it? Good.
We had thought that maybe what we do for Top 5 is Top 5 Super Bowl halftime shows. And I was like, oh, everyone knows how that one's going to end. It's going to end with me saying Prince. So I thought that Brandon, since he had already had in his mind that he was going to talk about the commercials, that I'd turn Top 5 over to him. These are Brandon Fryer's Top 5 Super Bowl commercials. Number 5! Yeah.
I have a confession to make while this is playing.
Okay.
So the word on the street is that Mr. Gill never seen Sopranos.
Wow.
And I have to admit that I'm one of those two. I've never seen Sopranos. This is why it's in the top five, because it needs to, like, remind me that, oh, I need to watch Sopranos. I've seen every, like, HBO series, haven't seen The Sopranos, so I got
to
watch that.
I'd love to know some of the background to that, because it did look like we were seeing an emotional Jamie Lynn Sigler at the end of that, and that could be for countless reasons. It could be because of James Gandolfini. She also, I believe, got diagnosed with MS a couple years ago, and her seeing her partner in crime, so to speak, on the show, and then reliving all of that, like, I thought it was a really cool commercial. Not a bad choice. You should probably watch Sopranos. Chris Tannehill's head just exploded hearing that you've never seen it. Number 4!
All right, so, cordless headphones, you can watch movies through your phone, and y'all got electric cars?
Yeah.
The future is crunk.
Anything else you want to know?
Is the hype too much? Am I ready?
I can't tell you everything. But if you want to make history, you got to call your own shots.
We going to the league. We going to the league.
The LeBron commercial.
You know why I like it? I like now the memes about it. I don't know if you've seen some of the memes on Twitter.
Yes, like, don't take a phone call from Russell Westbrook.
Yes, ignore that call. You know, like, I love the memes. So it made this commercial a little bit higher for me.
The de-aging stuff is getting scary. For those of you who have watched Mandalorian and have watched Boba Fett. By the way, I did a whole podcast with Ben Finfer about that on House of L. But there's some, I don't want, spoiler alert. There's some de-aging that you will see with characters that you loved from the Star Wars universe. And it looks like they were doing it here. It's gotten better, but the whole thing is really, really scary. But I thought that was a fun. It reminded me of the commercials where LeBron was playing like four different characters.
Like the old LeBron.
Yeah.
That's a classic to me.
I think it's one of the best sports commercials ever.
It's up there with, to me, like the Little Penny one with Chris Rock. Like, that's to me is an all-time classic.
Number three.
I call it the wheel.
Eh, I don't think so. This is a miss.
Brother David, behold!
It's a fork.
I got 10 forks right here, baby!
A toilet? We're not animals. We go outside like humans.
Hancock.
No king!
The people shall have the right to vote.
Even the stupid ones?
Yes! Ha!
Probably one of the funniest ones out of all the commercials that I saw. I thought it was creative, very funny. Larry David.
So you haven't watched Sopranos. Have you watched Curb?
Yes, I have seen Curb.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure, like, if there wasn't another series that maybe you needed to start watching.
No, on the HBO front, I got it all covered except for Sopranos. Sorry, Tanny.
Insecure, too?
Oh, I love Insecure.
I'm rewatching Insecure.
Euphoria right now?
Man.
I'm telling you.
This past episode was great, but I don't know if anything could top the episode
one before. Yeah, just give her the war right now.
Goodness gracious. Number two.
You must help save the world first.
Then you can take over that world.
Okay, Farrah, how about you let me do the business, all right? Hold on, I've got it. I will help save the world first, then take over the world.
She literally just said that.
Scott,
you just don't get it, do you?
What? What don't I get?
You don't get it.
Oh, we're right back.
And you're never gonna get it.
You can't draw me into these little. You act like a child.
Here it is. You don't get it.
I am an adult. You can't push my buttons anymore.
It just took me back to the Austin Powers movies. I love it. It's like a little bit of my like teenage years. So I just love it.
Yeah. Well, see, now you understand that the Super Bowl commercials and halftime are starting to cater to you. What does this mean? It means that you're getting old.
True. And like you said, I probably need to take up yoga too.
It's not a bad idea. I find it to be very helpful. Number one.
Okay, for this, I need like the Twitch thing real quick.
Okay.
So we could just like kind of.
Oh, the thing where the. Yeah, put the camera just on Brandon so he can have it bouncing back and forth like Pong.
All day. That was it. I think that one right there was pretty much the winner. Right away was the winner of the Super Bowl to me. Because, I mean, you can't tell me you did not get your phone out.
I did not.
You didn't do it?
No.
Did you know what it was?
I didn't know what the ad was. But
I got my phone out.
But I knew that I understood the QR code thing. And I was like, I'm good. I don't need that to be invaded on my phone.
You thought you was going to get a whole bunch of spam or something?
Hey, man, who knows? I mean, it'd be worth it, right? It'd be worth it. Like, you buy $6 million. I shouldn't even say this out loud because someone will get this idea. So that is Brandon's top five commercial list. I think it's a really good list. If you don't like his list, make your own damn list. That's the way this whole thing works. When we come back, we are hoping to have a conversation with Brian Allen, Hinsdale's own, and Super Bowl champion. Next, here on The Score.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.